I want to go home. Can't we go home yet? I want to go home. You ever heard a little one say this on the playground? Tired and cranky, maybe a little hungry, maybe trying not to cry. I want to go home. You may have heard your own kids. You may have said it, or some version of it. And what it means is, I'm done for right now. I'm done. I want to be somewhere safe. I want to be comfortable. Maybe it means I want to put my pajamas on and get my favorite blanket. I want to be where I am loved. I want to be where I am wanted. I'm done with the struggle for today. There are all kinds of versions of this phrase, because where you live may not be where you go to feel safe and welcome. But the feeling is the same. Everyone wants to go to a place where their welcome and safety are assured. A cosmic version of Cheers. Somewhere where everyone knows your name and they're glad to see you. A place where you belong, even on a bad day. Even when you bring nothing to the table. Even when you come needing rather than giving. And this leads us to the idea of radical welcome and radical hospitality. Simple welcoming, simple hospitality are things that most of us do pretty darn well. When we invite someone to dinner at our house and we tell them, make yourself at home. Sit down, relax. There's the bathroom, there's the refrigerator. We mean it. We want them to be comfortable, but there are limits, right? I can come into your house, I can take my shoes off, I can get my own coffee. I've done it for a bunch of you. But when I start rearranging the furniture and painting the walls my favorite shade of black, you're going to put me out the front door. Because it goes beyond hospitality to do something like that. When we invite someone to make themselves at home in our home, we're inviting them to enjoy our things, even to use or consume them, up to some kind of culturally understood point. And each culture is different, so we have screw-ups all the time with how this works. So an acquaintance borrows my lawnmower and brings it back, and they fill it with gas, and they actually clean it up. They don't know me that well, so they take great care. A friend borrows the same lawnmower and returns it clean, but doesn't bother about the gas because tomorrow they'll pay for all the kids to have ice cream, and it all comes out the same, but they're still keeping track. My best friend steals my lawnmower and my weed whacker without asking and then comes back and mows my grass. And nobody remembers who bought the gas last because the stuff goes back and forth and back and forth. And it's mine and yours and ours and who cares anyway, I'll steal it back next week. But none of them sell that lawnmower because it isn't theirs. They don't feel an ownership, no matter how close. When a church does nothing more than offer simple welcome, simple hospitality, they say to people, we're glad you like our stuff. We're glad you're like us. And if you stay long enough, you'll become one of us. Have some coffee. But we're called to do more than offer our guests a chance to have a seat and a cookie. Because it's our cookie. We're called to do more than that. In the reading that Barbara did this morning, it defined radical hospitality, the activities and desires that inspire individuals and communities to welcome those unlike themselves. To say to the black community, black lives matter, you are welcome. And to mean that from the depths of your soul. Radical hospitality means accepting the person with no thought of benefit. To become hospitable means finding ways to welcome the marginalized, the forgotten, the misunderstood. In addition to our fears, we've become a culture with more disdain and indifference than ever before. We hold our phones in front of us. We hold our tablets and our computers, reality TV. That's become what's real. Regardless of where our search may take us, it begins for all with a turning inside and a ruthless self-evaluation. According to Pratt, an examination of conscience that scorches away the excuses we grant ourselves is not just needed. Our lives and our society may depend on it. Radical welcome begins with our Unitarian Universalist principle of interconnectedness. It says, I'm not welcoming you into my home. I'm welcoming you home. I'm not holding the door and asking you to come into my place. Because I am here, because you are here, you already have a place. To borrow a line from the Gospel of the Christian New Testament, I have gone ahead and made a way for you. This is a radical call. This is not a call for some type of genteel niceness. This is a call to justice at the deepest level. Because I have a place, because there is a place, you have a place. You don't have to apply. You don't have to be good enough or smart enough or rich enough. You don't have to be popular enough. You are enough by the fact that you are. There are no qualifiers, and this can be frightening. This is religion. This is church at its absolute rawest, its fiercest, and its boldest. This is what we are called to do. The poet Rumi says, this being human is a guest house. Every morning is a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. They may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. As a human being, this is a central task. To learn to accept each emotion, each experience of your life as valid and important. To not be afraid. The good, the bad, the painful all shape you and make you and teach you. Well, we don't want to suffer. No one wants to suffer. But a life without some depth and balance becomes meaningless. With no pain and no sorrow, there is no way to understand joy. With no sadness, there is no lens to truly appreciate the stunning beauty and fragility of your life. But on a greater scale, this poem becomes a metaphor for why we need to welcome the stranger joyfully and without reservation. Each one brings a new piece. Each one guides us and shapes us and brings depth to our experience. Each one is already a part of us. They are merely a part we have not yet explored. Radical welcome begins with this radical inclusion. There are no prerequisites. You are a newcomer, not a visitor. From the moment you were born, your path began turning here, and now you are home. You may leave again today and never return. But it remains your possession to use or sell or give away, to love or hate. You don't have to earn it. It is earned by your blood, by your breath. Giving and receiving form the next layer of radical welcome, and they are perfectly balanced. We have stewardship in churches, and we talk a lot about giving, generosity, generous giving. We don't have receiving week. This is a weird idea, but we should. It's equally important. As a member of the church, you're called to give from your heart and equally to ask for what you need to support your search for truth and meaning, and both are equally valid. Both are unconditional. And this is hard because it doesn't fit the idea of successful American life. We're all supposed to get it right all the time, right? We're all supposed to try for the place where we can give and give and give. We never need to take. That's for takers. That's for people who need things. None of y'all need things, right? Y'all pretty independent. Mega churches and televangelists get on TV and they preach prosperity gospel. And if you've never seen Robert Tilton or Joel Osteen, I do recommend watching at least once to feel for what this is. They tell their viewers that if you want to belong, you have to send as much money as you can, seed money, and the more money you give, the more money God will take and the more God will bless you. You didn't know that, did you? Prosperity gospel. I would say to you today that from my perspective, prosperity gospel is a lie. It doesn't work that way. It is an unbalanced, power disparate system that destroys people. A scheme designed to get money from people who just want to go home, who just want to be loved. We are not selling religion. We are not selling welcome. Givers are a blessing. They're gifts of money and talent. Let us pay the bills and to know the joy of having things. Absolutely. And receivers are also a blessing. Those who come needing. They let us have that joy and blessing of giving. It has value, deep, meaningful value. Radical welcome is about recognizing this value, recognizing our experience together as participatory. This is not a commercial transaction. This is not consumption. We're in this together, not sales. We are called as a church to cultivate personal autonomy, to recognize in each person the right to determine if this is the place for them. But the default setting is inclusion. No one has to wait for some conjunction of circumstances to be okay. No baptism, no confirmation. You don't have to be saved or born again to be fixed enough to be welcome. You don't have to accept some specific truth or reject some other. We're in this experience of life together. We are a church together. And as I was working on this sermon, I was looking at various pieces about what it means to belong and to be. And I found a marvelous piece by Anne Lamott, which some of you may have seen because I shared it on Facebook. It was so simple and so perfect. And I want to share part of it here. She said, when people say stupid stuff to someone I love who's really going through it, I hear rage. When someone says let go and let God with certainty and good cheer, I know they secretly want to get their gun and stroll through the neighborhood. What a horrible thing to say when someone is half mad with grief or fear. I say to the recipient, that is complete BS, and you must promise me you will avoid that person like the plague for the foreseeable future, because they're a danger to your spirit. The truth is, everyone worth his or her salt, all the very best people, feel broken, stunned, overwhelmed, and defective some of the time. When people don't, when they're very pleased with their personal upbeat selves and their all-encompassing worldview, like, say, the Duggar family, we want to run screaming for our cute lives, and we absolutely don't want to sit near them at dinner. So what do I want to hear at a gathering like church? I want to hear, me too. Me too. I have that too. I know what that feels like. Gandhi and Jesus knew what it feels like, the loneliness, the sadness, the brutality. Jesus often said, it's hard here. How are you doing? Have you eaten? There's some loaves. There's some fish. Here's some wine. Go sit over there. Eat. Eat. Take a breath. We'll get back to this. Go to the beach. Have some fish. We'll talk later. I want to hear a church, wow, thank you for trusting me with that. What a big drag. I've been through it too. Let's file a complaint with the complaints department. Come on, we'll sit down and plan our strategy. I want someone to say that against all odds, there's a solution. There absolutely is, and it's not out there, somewhere in a circumstance. Circumstances don't need to change to feel peace again or even happiness. As Lily Tomlin said, the problem with winning at the rat race is you're still a rat. The solution is knowing the truth. The solution is spiritual. I want to hear someone remind me that if I want to have loving feelings, I need to do loving things. She said, I want someone to make me laugh about our shared humanity and cuckoo-ness. I want someone to remind me that laughter is carbonated holiness. I want someone to make me a promise that I'll get outside. I want someone to remind me of what Ram Dass said, that we're all just walking each other home. I want to hear that big fat cherries are on sale for $4.99 at most stores and that peach season has begun. I want to hear that I'm loved and welcome, no matter what a mess I've made of things or how defective I feel. I want to hear it'll get better. Maybe not tomorrow or right after lunch. I want to hear that you and God will never leave me. That I'm not nuts. That I'm not nuts for finding life as a mixed grill. That it can be hard and magical, brutal and gorgeous, unfair, hilarious, sweet, wild and mysterious. All at once. She said, that's what I need to hear today. And that's what I'm going to say today in spite of all. So thank you and thank you and thank you. And this is the core of radical welcome. Me too. Me too. I'm here. I see you. I hear you. You don't need to be fixed. I see you as you are. And I'm broken too. We all laugh and we all hurt and we all just want to go home sometimes. We all just need a hug some days. Straight and queer and black and white, people of color, Caucasian people, able-bodied people, handicapped people, deaf people. We're all just walking each other home. And you know what? You are not alone. You're not the only one. We're here. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Welcome home. Amen.